Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's a Food Friday today, and we celebrate Oktoberfest with the folks from Adirondack Pub and Brewery. The establishment is a major part of the 8th annual Lake George Oktoberfest and Fall Festival. The European-style street fair runs from Friday, October 5th, to Sunday, October 7th, on Canada Street in Lake George. Oktoberfest. The beer, the whoosh, the stein hoisting, the dancing chickens. It's all happening at the Oktoberfest. In the studio to detail some of the great food and drink that'll be available at the event are Preston Kirkpatrick and Greg Shanice of Adirondack Pub and Brewery. As kitchen manager, Preston is the food guru, while Greg, as marketing manager, will handle the suds and all of the other interesting things happening at Oktoberfest. We also have a celebrity with us today. Radio's Joe Donahue is here, joining the Oktoberfest fun at Frolic on a Food Friday. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And you can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org if you're in the Oktoberfest kind of mood. Greg Shanice, Preston Kirkpatrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Glad to be here.
Us.
And before we get to the dancing chickens, let's talk about Oktoberfest and the food.
Is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, it's very much a thing.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Wait for it, Joe.
Okay.
It's happening soon.
I'm good.
This is the 8th annual Lake George Oktoberfest. You guys have been involved since the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big deal, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great way to really celebrate German culture, a lot of the beers that we make, the fantastic food that's made in the kitchen, and all of just, you know, we try to make it a very traditional Bavarian Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
You know, hanging banners, wood cutouts.
The Lederhosen.
Sure. The dirndls. I mean, we really encourage people to come dressed up. We take a lot of pictures, and we have a lot of fun with it.
Are you excited, Preston?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
It's a fun time of year.
Yeah, and the
you seem excited.
He does seem very excited. Well, there are things that you brought that are so delicious. And again, let me give the number here, 800-348-2551. And before we talk about some of the highlights of this year's event, let's talk about the food you brought, Preston. It's delicious. I had a chance during the lengthy the hearing to have a little lunch here. Beautiful stuff.
Thank you very much. We brought some traditional wurst today, knackwurst, bratwurst, vice versa, and some accoutrement that we'll be serving with it, such as sauerkraut, red cabbage, and German potato salad.
Mm, so tasty. And I got to say, the potato pancake you brought, I love potato pancakes. I've been eating them since I was a little child. My grandmother was of German extraction, had them all the time. We usually had them with applesauce.
Yeah.
But this potato pancake has a little more density than what I'm used to, and I got to tell you, I'm loving it. Have you tried it, Joe Donahue?
I have not tried the pancake, no.
Well, here's one over here.
Oh, great. I'll throw it at you here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, throw it. That's
plenty of room on the table.
Excellent.
Give it a shot. Well, Greg Shanice, tell us about this upcoming Oktoberfest, and this being the 8th annual one, it started more modestly, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really started relatively small. I mean, it's always been something that's happened in downtown Lake George. We actually closed down Canada Street for this, or not the whole thing, but definitely a section of it right by Shepherd Park. And, you know, it's always been something that's very family-friendly, but again, we really make it feel like a German Oktoberfest. We want it to be as authentic as we can in Lake George, New York.
Right.
So we go as far as we can. We've put up a big tent. We've got the hanging banners. We've got, this year we're doing the chandeliers with hops wrapped around them.
Oh, clever.
Kind of very much looking at what they've done in Germany for their traditional Oktoberfest. And that's how we want it to feel. We want it to be community. We want it to be, you know, a place where everybody can come together and find something they like. Because, yeah, we're going to have all of our beer and our food. There's also going to be great vendors there doing a myriad of different crafters. We've got games, rides. We do stein hoistings, keg tossing, you know, all kinds of just
the
stuff.
The stein hoisting can get very messy.
So one of the things we looked at this year was, unbeknownst to us, there is an actual U.S. Stein Hoisting Federation.
Of course,
of course.
Because
yeah.
Why wouldn't there be?
Right. Yeah,
if
exactly.
There's cornhole, why can't there be Stein Hoisting?
Right, that's another show.
So we actually.
You owe us on that one, or is that Medical Monday?
That's Medical Monday.
So we actually looked at what does it take to get officially sanctioned so that people can go to like international competitions.
Oh, really?
So We couldn't do it this year, but it's something we're going to be looking to do down the road. But we are going to follow this year's official rules.
Okay, so give us some of the rules for stein hoisting.
Yeah, what sanctions this?
So you have to have a particular kind of glass, and it has to weigh a certain amount with the beer inside of it.
Okay.
So it has to be around 5.5 pounds once the beer is in it.
Right.
And it has to be beer.
Okay.
You can't put something else in it. There's only two acceptable ways you can hold it from a grip standpoint. You can't have a thumb on top. You can't hold it from the bottom. You can't do anything like that. So there's only two ways you have to do it. You actually get strikes. So the point is you have to keep your shoulders square, arms straight out, and you hold it up as long as you can.
Yeah.
If you buckle a little bit, strike one. If you shake a little bit, strike two. So, and if you spill beer, you're done.
Right.
You're good out.
And what's the world record for stein hoisting?
So we tried to look this up. There's not like an official one just because this sanctioning body is relatively new.
Yeah.
But we did one for a different event that we had 2 weeks ago, and there was an individual who held it up for about 4.5 minutes.
Well, that's impressive.
Using the official rules, this was our first foray.
Yeah.
And that alone, I mean, you see the tears starting to come in and people are starting to sweat and you see it. You just see him shaking, but it's amazing to watch.
So is that a strength thing? Is that a concentration thing?
No, it's both. I mean, that's the thing. Because you can't spill. So it's kind of getting out of your head of, no, I can keep holding this. I can keep holding this.
Do they do PED testing on some of these people?
We could. Nope. I think we should now.
Well, let's bring out the beer. The number here is 800-348-2551. Joe Donahue is here for one reason, and that is because there is some beer to taste.
No, I'm into the worst.
Oh, the isn't the food good?
Yeah.
Did you try the potato pancake?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I love it.
Very
usually,
good.
Again, I put we'll put sour cream or applesauce. You don't even need that for this one. What goes into that potato pancake, Pat Preston? And don't say potatoes, because I know that.
Very, very simple. Minced potatoes, very much grated onion, flour, egg, salt, a little smoked paprika in this case.
Hmm.
Very simple. Just cooked with some neutral oil so it doesn't overwhelm the taste. And crispy on both sides.
So I'm guessing that Kirkpatrick, not necessarily a German name.
Not necessarily, no.
Has it taken you some time to sort of get in the swing of German cooking?
Well, a little bit. I have our owner, John, the restaurant, has spent extensive time in Europe. German food is his favorite cuisine.
Yeah.
Anything that I can't find on the internet, I learned from him.
Nice.
I've been reprimanded a few times on exactly what we need to do, but he's very knowledgeable when it comes to the food and definitely guides me along in the cuisine.
Has he been working with you on your stein hoisting?
No, he has not. I feel my arms are a little too long for stein hoisting. I'm at a disadvantage.
Shorter arms?
I feel like that should be more.
Shark talk, right?
You know?
He could do some stein hoisting.
There you go.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Greg Shanice, what are we drinking here?
So the first thing that I've poured out is our actual Oktoberfest. So this is the beer that we release for this here event.
Okay.
So we use New York State malts and hops in this. And what you get is a very traditional Oktoberfest. It's, we don't add any spices. We don't add any, pumpkin or any other things going into it. So what you're getting is the actual malt itself.
This follows the German law strictly.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You can smell the malt.
Oh, yeah. It's, right up front you get like some toffee, a little bit of caramel malts, and then it's a nice smooth drink. There's definitely some hop into it, but it's much more of a malt forward.
And I like this a lot. Now, John Fisher, who is our resident go-to booze expert here on Food Friday, I was discussing Oktoberfest beer with him a couple of weeks ago. He said, "Gotta make sure it's not too sweet." This is not too sweet. This has got a nice bite to it. It's really nice.
Yeah, and I mean, it should. It should be crisp. It should be clean. You want to taste the malts, but I agree. You don't want it to be overly sugary or overly sweet, because then you kind of lose the other elements of it.
What do you think, Joe Donahue?
I like it a lot. It is, when you talk about the hops, so what is the, how do you walk that line, if you will?
What do you mean?
Well, and you said it's not too hoppy.
Yeah, so basically you want to make sure you have a pretty solid malt backbone to it, so that the hops don't overpower what else is happening in the beer. Because one of the other ones that we brought today is our Lake George IPA, which is a New England-style IPA. That is all hop for me.
Yeah.
So that, we want you to taste that right up front. So it's really in how it's constructed.
This has got a nice balance.
Yes, very
Thank
much
you.
So.
It is Food Friday. The number is 800-348-2551. Preston Kirkpatrick and Greg Shanice are here. They're the, well, some of the head honchos, if you will, of the 8th Annual Lake George Oktoberfest at Fall Festival. Joe Donahue also here as one of our celebrity tasters on the program. If you have a question about German cuisine and or beer or dancing chickens, feel free to give us a call. We'll take a short break here on Food Friday. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you at 800-348-2551. And Joe Donahue, Radio's Joe Donahue, joining us today. We're having the folks from Adirondack Pub and Brewery in the studio to talk about the 8th Annual Lake George Oktoberfest and Fall Festival, which is going on Friday, October 5th to Sunday, October 7th. That's next weekend on Canada Street in Lake George. Greg Shanice, before we get to the phones and then more beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about the dancing chickens, man.
So I know that it's been brought up and laughed about, but that
yes.
is a true tradition that we've had at our Oktoberfest,
no.
and it's
as is laughing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't not laugh.
Are
at
they
it.
German chickens?
Sure. The okay. person inside it might be.
Wait.
No, this isn't. It's not like we trained chickens to dance.
All right. So we don't have to call PETA.
No, excellent.
Oh, my
please
God. All right.
What a letdown.
This was some sort of agricultural.
Yeah. I thought this was like expert. A 4-H thing.
Now, next year, maybe.
Okay.
But this year, it's going to be a guy in a chicken suit
dancing.
It's something that we've always had. And, you know,
it's tradition,
it
right?
It is tradition. People love it. People actually ask for, like, when's the chicken gonna come out? I want to get my pictures. And
forgive me if it's not that exciting now.
No.
I thought
it was. I had pictures of dancing chickens. I said, well, these people are magic. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Amy in Kingston. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi. My question is, my family goes on a traditional camping trip every Columbus Day weekend or Indigenous Peoples Day weekend. And I would like to start a new tradition this 24th year by bringing 5 new beers. What is your recommendation?
That really depends on the people that are going. What kind of beers do you go after in general?
I just want them to sort of have, I don't know. I think that's why I'm asking you. We've traveled widely. We go for, you know, ciders, different ales.
Yep.
We're used to trying local breweries in the Hudson Valley. So I figured you guys are the experts. That's why you're on Vox Pop. So
yeah.
If you give me 5, I will buy them and try them.
Donahue knows a lot about beer.
No, thanks for thinking that. But you were asking for 5 different beers. Am I right on that?
Right, that's the challenge. You've got to narrow it down.
The sampler. What would a good sampler be?
That's actually what I was going to
say.
So right now we actually have a variety pack that's called the Hop Project, and within that is actually 4 different beers that we produce. One is a New England style IPA. One is a Western style IPA, which is vastly different. But then I would also recommend, you know, the Oktoberfest, if you're looking for something that where it's going to be a little bit cooler at night, you want something that's got a little bit more meat to it. So any of our Oktoberfest, we make a number of stouts that you can pick up. We actually make scotch ales that are great. And if you like cider, one of the things we're going to try later on here is an actual cider that we have from the brewery. It's called the Lake George Cider Project.
Tremendous.
And it's a very nice, crisp, clean cider. Not too high in ABV. It's very refreshing.
Where are you going on your camping, Amy?
Well, I'm originally from New Jersey, and we're heading south this year. So I guess I would insert one more challenge. We are going to be on the beach. Now, what do you envision drinking in a house on the beach?
Oh, my gosh.
Cans.
Martinis.
Cans. I was going to say cans.
Yeah, cans.
Anything in cans.
Okay. why is that?
Well, you don't want the
Well, that's one thing. We aren't big can drinkers.
Okay.
Not big can drinkers, yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking for, if you're going to be sitting on the beach, probably what you're going to want is lighter styles. So look for pilsners, pale ales. You know, IPAs are still fine there. You probably want to stay away from the heavier stuff.
Yeah, and you know, don't go swimming after you've had four or five, Amy. That's not a good plan.
Not at all.
All right, well, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Oktoberfest is coming in Lake George. It is the 8th annual Lake George Oktoberfest and Fall Festival, and we have Greg Shanice and Preston Kirkpatrick from the Adirondack Pub and Brewery, along with Radio's Joe Donahue, to celebrate Oktoberfest. All right, Greg Shanice, let's go one more call, and then I want you to break out another brew here. Let's go to Kathy in Seward, New York. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Hi.
You were talking about the potato pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
I know how to make those, but how do you make sauerbraten? Does that involve sauerkraut? Because I just got some homemade, home-fermented sauerkraut from a friend, and I thought to honor it, I think you put sauerkraut in with the meat or something?
Well, sauerbraten, I believe, is veal. Just left to, it basically refers to the sauce that goes with the veal. Traditionally, it's made with something fermented, and served on top of the like a thin peel, thin piece of breaded veal.
So the sauerbraten is just a sauce.
It's sauerbraten is actually meat. It's veal.
Okay, but you're saying you do the veal, you fry that up somehow,
yeah,
and
you pound out veal, lightly dust it with flour. Cook it in some sort of a neutral oil, something like canola or vegetable, something that will overpower the taste. And you just lightly pan fry until it's cooked through.
And then you have a sauce.
Traditionally, it's a lemon butter and parsley sauce served with it.
Lemon butter and parsley.
Mm-hmm.
There's no...
I thought sauerbraten was vinegary. Am I wrong on that?
I thought that could be true, yes.
Oh.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I thought it was that the meat was marinated for like 24 hours.
I think we'll have to get a second opinion on that one. Hey, what kind of, did you, I'm still so sick.
Sorry.
This stuff with the cabbage.
The sauerkraut?
The sauerkraut. What kind of sauerkraut did you get?
Well, my neighbor put it together, and she said it's just cabbage with salt, and it gets fermented, and I'm keeping it in my fridge for the opportune moment of it.
You know, the guys here from Adirondack Pub and Brewery brought some tremendous sauerkraut. I wonder if, Preston, you could tell us about this.
Sure. Like she said, it's basically fermented cabbage with sugar. Just left to dry out, the cabbage will lose all of its moisture, creating sort of a brine with the salt. To prepare it, we typically rinse the brine from the sauerkraut. We prepare it with sautéed onion, caraway seed, and just a little bit of salt. And it's pretty straightforward and simple.
It still has some crispiness, which is really nice.
Yes, it is cooked in a little bit of oil, so you get a nice coating with the oil, and it creates sort of a crispiness to the sauerkraut.
Outstanding. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Kathy. The number here is 800-348-2551. All right, Greg, before we get to the next call, let's try just a little taste of what else you have brought with you.
Sure. So the next one we're going to try is actually a very traditional German style. This is our Pilsner.
Okay.
So this is our Bobcat Pilsner, which actually this year got named the second best version of this beer in the world by the Brewers Association.
In the world.
This took home a silver in what's called the World Beer Cup, which is the largest craft beverage or craft beer competition in the world. So this is light, it's crisp, it's clean. You know, you definitely, there's a little bit of hop into it, but very, very light. I mean, this was our biggest summer beer, and it's something that we definitely highlight throughout the whole Oktoberfest celebration.
This reminds me of the beers, 30 years ago that were so popular here in the States before the microbrew revolution. Yeah. This was a what you'd call an American beer.
And now when you look at trends in craft beer, you actually see styles like Pilsners and other lighter variants gaining a lot of traction. People are very much looking for something more traditional, more, you know, not so heavy on the palate, but something that, you know, you can have four or five of and feel okay and not completely destroy your taste buds.
Indeed. By the way, we'll take a call or two here. Joe, what do you think of that beer?
I like it. I agree with you. I think it's a nice alternative.
Gives me a nostalgic feeling.
It does.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Victoria at Altamont. Victoria.
Hi there. I have to start out by saying I, too, am devastated to learn about the chicken situation.
You see?
I'm so sorry.
So am I. I mean, really. But nonetheless, I'll be there. Okay. But I want to know about these potato pancakes, because one of the things that I miss very much are the wonderful German restaurants that used to be in our area that no longer exist, you know, and that used to make these potato pancakes that were crispy on the outside and yet moist and dense on the inside. How do we do that at home?
Well, you control the density of the potato pancake with the amount of flour used in the recipe. A potato pancake is very simple as far as ingredients.
Right.
You know, just finely grated potato and onion. And typically what I do is, to keep it dense, I add just a little more flour to it. Cook it over a medium to low heat with plenty of oil. And that will crisp both the outside and the sides a little bit. And then just cook it till you reach that consistency you want as far as crispiness.
Okay.
So I would say hopefully
you'll rethink this chicken thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? We've set the bar pretty high, Victoria.
You really
we
have.
Want to see real dancing chickens.
I think
chickens. So. All right, well, thanks a lot
I
for the call.
So.
And good luck with your potato pancakes. It's Food Friday. Today we are welcoming Greg Shanice and Preston Kirkpatrick of Adirondack Pub and Brewery. They are here to celebrate the 8th annual Lake George Oktoberfest and Fall Festival, which goes on next weekend on Canada Street in Lake George. Joe Donahue is here as well. Let's go over to Ken, who's on the road. Ken.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, man.
So I wanted to fix a couple of things that were misdescribed by your obviously skilled guest. However, Robbie, stay out of the kitchen. So sauerbraten, like your earlier caller asked about, is not made with veal. What your guest was describing was some sort of a Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Sauerbraten is with beef. It's marinated for quite some time. And to answer the caller's question, no sauerkraut with sauerbraten.
All right. Ken, thank you very much for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. And as I said earlier, the festival now in its 8th year, the first one, much smaller. Have you grown? I mean, are more people hip to this now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, this started out being something that was very much smaller and run more, you know, on a village-wide place where it would be volunteers getting together and putting this on with help from the village and from different entities. And a handful of years back, the brewery was approached about, you know, putting it on, because not only is there the 8th annual Lake George Festival, we've been holding one at the brewery for 13 years.
Uh-huh.
So it's something that we know a lot about. It's something that we're very comfortable putting on. So when it was approached to us of, hey, would you guys want to run it? We jumped at the opportunity. And, you know, every year we try to add something new, refine things. But at the same time, we never want to make it so that it's not, you know, community-based, family-based. So, you know, it's never going to get too crazy.
Right.
But, you know, we always want it to grow year after year.
Too crazy with real dancing chickens.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you guys keep talking about these dancing chickens.
Let's go to Teresa and Troy. Teresa, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to make a statement that I heard a theory that Beethoven lost his hearing by having his cabbage shipped from Poland to England in lead-based pottery pots.
You're kidding me. Now, where did you hear this theory?
Oh, I read it, like, years ago. I couldn't tell you the magazine that it was from.
Beethoven lost his hearing because the cabbage that he received...
Possibly, that he was having shipped from Poland in lead-based clay pottery pots.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
It's a theory. Joe Donahue. I just throw it out there. I heard you talking about kraut and cabbage and stuff.
I'm looking this up.
Oh, now you see, Joe has a computer. He's going to look this up, Teresa. That's a fascinating one. I've not heard this. Even listening to Art Bell late at night, I never heard that theory.
But, and I just want to say, this is my second time calling.
Thank you.
The last time was about bourbon.
Ah, all right. Well,
may I ask you?
Pick
they
your
said,
top.
Add a drop of water to your bourbon, it'll change the world, and it does.
That's true. Right about that. Right. Teresa, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number.
Help you know more about Beethoven than you ever thought you would, too.
On a food Friday, 800-348-2551 on a food Friday. We're here with Preston Kirkpatrick and Greg Shanice of Adirondack Pub and Brewery. Now, I don't think I've ever been to Adirondack Pub and Brewery. I've had the beers before.
Okay.
But I don't think I've ever been up there. How long have you guys been in operation?
You know, it's only been about 20 years.
Ah.
You know, so.
Well, I don't get out much.
No, actually, we're coming up on our 20th year next year. Mm. We started in 1999. Right in the village. We've always been in the location that we're at. We just keep expanding. Either expanding backwards with the brewery to get more production or expanding into other buildings because we keep outgrowing
ourselves.
You're
taking over the town.
A little bit.
You're taking over the town.
We're trying.
20 years, though. I mean, if you think about it, that makes you guys trailblazers.
In the capital region, absolutely.
As far as microbrews go.
Oh, yeah. I've been there a long, long time.
Have you been there
before? God.
Yeah?
No, we go there. I'm there a lot.
Okay. Just so you guys know, I could say any particular brewery, like for 30, 40 miles.
Well,
like, Joe, have you been there? The answer would be yes.
A family that lives very close to it, so it is a place that we regularly go to.
Yeah.
And you have the great, you have the Ice Festival,
yep.
Which is a...
We got Funky Ice Fest.
Yep,
so
that's always fun.
So we do big ice sculptures and put it outside.
Yeah. That's always great,
yep.
And so we always go to that. And then just when you need to get a growler fill and check in and...
And, you know, the other thing is we have tremendous food,
thanks
to Preston and the team in the kitchen. I mean, a lot of people, you know, one of the things that I do as part of my job is to go over all the reviews and everything that comes out through different channels. And, you know, one of the things that comes in all the time is how great, you know, the food is, our servers are, the atmosphere is.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, by the way, they have great beer.
Well, that's good, too,
for
a brewery. Preston, you're the kitchen manager.
That's correct.
So you're just in charge of yelling at people?
I do my fair share of yelling, yes.
Yeah.
Just make sure that everything's working properly. Everyone's doing what they're supposed to be.
Are you feared by the staff?
Some would say yes.
Really? Is that true, Greg?
I have a kind of intimidating personality when I'm at work. I'm very straightforward and... have my own idiosyncrasies that I and things that I like how they're done in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And,
know anything about that, Ray?
So,
you know, there's an old saying, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with sauerbraten. So maybe you ought to try that.
That's a
brand new let's
thing.
Take a break here. 800-348-2551. Greg Shanice and Preston Kirkpatrick are here from the Adirondack Pub and Brewery. The 8th annual Lake George Oktoberfest and Fall Festival is running next weekend, Friday, October 5th through Sunday, October 7th in Lake George. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551 is the number. We celebrate Oktoberfest today with the folks from Adirondack Pub and Brewery and Radio's Joe Donahue. Greg Shanice is here. Preston Kirkpatrick is here. And Greg, you just poured something here. It looks like beer, but it's not.
No, so this is something else that we produce out of the brewery, and this is our cider.
Ah.
So we use New York State apples that we partner up with 1911 cider to help us produce this and use the apples, and we use a champagne yeast, so you get it's dry, it's clean, it's crisp. But for Oktoberfest, we'll actually be using this as a base in malt cider.
So is that hard cider then?
Yes. Oh yeah, it'll be this. Then we'll actually, we're working also with a local winery, Adirondack Winery, to actually help us produce a nice malt cider.
Oh, terrific.
Cider.
I see.
That's
right.
Perfect
so
for autumn.
This malt, got it.
Now, as the spectrum of dry to sweet goes in the cider world, this will be on the sweet side, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
nice.
It's, It's, you know, it's definitely not as sweet as you can get, but we wanted to have a balance of it.
Yeah.
Just because we wanted to appeal to everybody. You know, it's some people like to have super dry. Some people want it basically like a dessert.
Yeah.
But, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, one of the pillars that we make everything on is that it's approachable for the majority of people to want to enjoy it.
Now, is that naturally fermented? It's quite bubbly.
I'm not sure. You'd have to ask one of the brewers. I believe we do some natural fermentation, but, you know, we definitely put it into, you know, our kettles and everything like that as well.
Okay. This one came in via email, and then we'll get back to the phones at 800-348-2551. This one's from Jen. And Jen writes, I'm part of several craft beer lover pages on social media, and the question was raised, which country would be the best to visit for its beer culture? Some people who had visited made the comment that Germany's beer in Germany was really nothing to write home about. The beer scene is really here in the States, was the consensus. Any knowledge? Are we just creating the German tradition in beer?
So...
Oh, come on. No, they've been brewing beer for hundreds of years.
I know. That's the thing. I actually... So, if I had to pick a country... You know, I try to think like, well, I'll go outside of the cell, like try to think outside the box
right.
a little.
So Finland.
Belgium.
Well, Belgium is close enough to Germany. Yeah. They have old abbeys that have been brewing beer since the 1300s.
I actually really like Trappist-style beers.
Yeah.
So
do I. Yeah. They're very good.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that'd be a place I want to go. But I will say, you know, what we're doing here in the States is really special when it comes to beer. We worked an event at the Saratoga Racetrack this summer where it was Adirondack Day. So we had a space and we were doing beer. I actually had a couple come over who was here visiting from England.
Yeah.
And I actually asked them, you know, what is it like over there? She goes, you know, we're very much on the very beginning of where you guys already are.
Yeah.
So they're starting to see trends like this where it's little pubs, little breweries popping up in different places trying, you know, different variants. I know in New Zealand, one of the big beers is a beer that comes in at like 2.5% alcohol.
Yeah.
Where here it's like 4%, that's the lowest you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're seeing people take different approaches across the world, but what we're doing here is really showing what it can mean from an economic standpoint, from a, you know, creating a small town feel standpoint, and people are starting to replicate it.
Don't you think that at some point in time we will... much like the casinos that spring up everywhere, will hit a saturation point?
I think that you're starting to see a little bit of that now. The Brewers Association keeps track of, you know, trends of breweries opening, breweries closing, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you're starting, you know, for years it was just a skyrocket of just going up and up and up. And now you're starting to, it's still going up, but not at the same levels. So you're starting to see it kind of level off and plateau, but there's still room to grow. I mean, at the end of the day, craft beer equates for about 12% of the market.
That's a pretty good chunk.
If
you think about the huge beer makers,
for as many breweries as there are, though.
Right, that's the thing. You have over 8,000 craft brewers.
But quality wins out, right? I mean, ultimately, quality is always going to win
out.
When you look at the ebb and the flow and the numbers that are there, of if five come in, hopefully the two that are left are the ones that have the best beer.
Correct. Oh, yeah, and that's what's going to happen is eventually, just like any other industry in the world, you have your ebbs and flows, your peaks and valleys. Eventually things will happen where, you know, the people who have been making a good product and have a good following, they'll continue to thrive and keep going, and then, you know, other people will see what happens. I mean, they might get bought out, they might merge, and that's what you're seeing a lot with the bigger breweries. I mean, Budweiser, I just saw, put out a beer that it's a bourbon barrel aged version of Budweiser with Jim Beam.
Yep.
So, and that's something that's very much in the craft beer realm.
Yes.
And so you're seeing them start to look at that and be like, well, we could do that too.
Mm.
And so we'll see what happens.
Greg Shanice is here and Preston Kirkpatrick from Adirondack Pub and Brewery, as well as Joe Donahue. The 8th annual Lake George Oktoberfest and Fall Festival gets underway next weekend up in Lake George. And we'll get back to the phones now. Oh, by the way, the PS here from Jen, the Fat Scotsman is my number one at Adirondack.
Hey. Oh, that's
who's that?
Beer.
So Fat Scotsman, that is our Scotch Ale.
It's
a great Scotch Ale.
Thank you. Well, we actually have a bourbon barrel-aged version coming out in December for that. Draft only.
Don't tease me.
Now, back in the day,
it's coming.
Back in the 80s, there was a place up on Wolf Road that had bottles of imported beers. And I don't know, I think they've been gone for decades now, but McAndrew was a Scotch ale that I would drink often. It was pretty strong stuff, as I recall.
Yeah, our Scotch ale comes in, if I remember off the top of my head, around 8%.
Yeah.
The bourbon barreled comes at like 10.4.
10.4.
Yeah, about.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Eleanor is on the road. Hello, you're on.
Hi there. I'm on my way to Syracuse.
Nice.
I just have a couple of things. Thank God you specified the fact that Sauerbraten is beef.
Yes.
I've been screaming here in the car. It's not veal.
Although I do have to say that in looking this up in the traditional recipe, it is a German pot roast. It can be made with either veal or beef.
Okay.
Just
okay.
Don't use a dancing chicken.
All right, I know.
Okay.
I've never made it with veal, but I don't have the time to marinate it for as long as it used to be. So I add a lot of wine vinegar, and that makes it sour.
Mm.
And you wouldn't know the difference, really.
All right, Eleanor. Well, that's great. And so that's a big favorite in your household?
Oh, yes, yes. And another thing on the potato pancakes.
Yeah.
Used to grind the potatoes and onion with one of the old grinders that you attach to your table edge.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So besides the flour, an egg is added just to hold everything together.
Yep, absolutely.
That's great. Yeah, my grandmother had one of those tabletop grinders. Came in very handy.
Yeah, we still have one on our cabinet.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Eleanor, thanks so much for calling. Have a safe drive to Syracuse. We appreciate it very much. Let's go over to Mary Beth in Albany. Mary Beth.
Yes?
Hello, you're on.
Ooh. Okay. You talked a little while ago about a prize-winning Pilsner.
Yes.
One of my brothers is coming up on a birthday soon, and he has a special liking for Pilsners. And I was wondering where I could get some of that.
Oh, I see.
So that is our Bobcat Pilsner, and you can
On tap only?
What's that?
On tap only?
Nope. It's available in six packs.
He brought a bottle in. We had a little sip from the bottle. It was delicious.
So you can really find that basically anywhere where you distribute Price Choppers, Hannaford's, wherever you get any other good craft beer stores in the area. This is a beer we actually make all year round.
And it won second prize in an international competition.
Yeah, the World Beer Cup.
Well, how about that?
And what's the name of it?
Bobcat Pilsner.
It's Adirondack Brewery, right?
Adirondack Brewery is the brewery, but the beer is called Bobcat Pilsner.
Bobcat.
Yeah.
Gotta have that. Okay.
Thanks, Mary Beth. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
So long. 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. Ray Graff with you, along with Joe Donahue and the folks from Adirondack Pub and Brewery today as we get ready for Oktoberfest next weekend. That's the 5th through the 7th on Canada Street in Lake George. Let's go over to Paul in Rotterdam. Paul.
Paul, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Not bad. I'm just a regular guy who likes to play around with food and watch the food shows on TV.
Yeah.
And to get a crisp, the lady called about a potato pancake. It's crispy on the outside and cooked to a nice texture on the inside.
Yeah.
And I know with a French fry, if you put the French fry in the press and let the fries drop into cold water, it releases an enzyme that's supposed to help with cooking a French fry. Keep it crispy on the outside and cooked on the inside but moist.
Huh.
And I thought everyone would work with potato pancakes, too. It's just a four-sided shred instead of a four-sided noodle.
What do you think, Preston Kirkpatrick?
Well, when it comes to potato pancakes, less moisture is optimal. You want very little moisture when it comes to the potato pancake. You want the egg and the flour to do the binding of that. And the more moisture, obviously, if you're going to fry it in oil, water and oil don't mix. So I would suggest using a fine mesh strainer.
They don't seem to absorb the oil. You just cut them and let them fall in the water and pick them up and you dry them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as they're dry, I don't see why not.
All right, well, it seems like maybe you're onto something.
It's an enzyme.
Oh, interesting. Well, thanks, Paul. We appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551 is the number, and it's a Food Friday. We're having a great time with Joe Donahue, Greg Shanice, and Preston Kirkpatrick. How about a beer?
How about one more beer?
All right.
All right.
So the last one I brought is our
a little too excited there, perhaps. Yeah, well, by party, right? Sorry,
you have to twist your arm.
It is Friday.
Yes, whatever.
So we brought our rotating New England style IPA.
Ah, the rotating style. What's so, that?
So what this is? Every 90 days, we actually change the recipe of this beer.
Okay.
So that's
so the label stays the same.
So the label stays the same. We call them waves. So this is actually wave 8.
Okay.
So the
wave 8 was one of my favorite King Crimson albums, by the way. If you're scoring at home,
I don't know that one. But so we named it that because just as every wave on Lake George is different,
yeah,
every wave of this beer
I see.
Is different.
I see.
So
I see the connection.
We keep the same malt profile
okay.
each time, but we change the hops up.
All right.
So it gives it a whole different flavor. But, you know, this is the king of beer styles right now. Is
oh,
the New England
it's an
IPA.
IPA. Yeah, sure.
So
now, what makes it a New England IPA? Is it lobster
so,
in there?
Yeah, we put tons of lobster in it.
Nice.
You can really taste it.
Yeah. Sherry.
So
it's all good.
It has to do with how hazy it is.
Ah.
Usually you get a lot of juice. Fruit juice notes. So with this, you're going to get a lot of grapefruit.
Okay.
And you really smell the hops.
And that comes from the hops, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I know there's one of my favorite IPAs is Titan IPA.
Okay.
This is from out in Colorado way. And it's very pine nutty.
Yes.
In other words, those hops have a pine sort of.
So that's what's considered a West Coast IPA. So in the world of IPA, that's really where things got started.
Yeah.
Was, you know, the West Coast resin, pine, some grapefruit notes into it, but it wasn't. You know, we wouldn't call it juicy.
And what are the hops in this one?
So in this one, we have got Citra, Simcoe, Equinot, Mosaic, and Centennial.
Hmm.
So it was a nice balance that went into this one.
You can really taste the grapefruit. You're not,
oh,
not
yeah.
joking. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's because, you know, the hops that we picked, you know, there's different ways you can go about figuring out, okay, if I add this one and this one, I will get these kind of notes.
Now, sometimes when you have a very citrusy IPA, the hops are such that they seize up your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what
how
you would
do
call
you,
like chewy or
yeah,
sticky?
Mm. Sure, I'd also call it awful.
Yeah,
but how do you avoid that here? Because this is very nice. This is
so
a nice.
Again, that's going to come with having a good solid malt backbone. That's going to clean that palate.
All right, it's going to give you the
yeah, because you want that refreshingness at the end. You don't want it to necessarily stick around and be in your mouth all day and just kind of sit there.
Yeah. All right.
No, you don't want
you want the joke or should I?
No.
Let's just go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Sue and Delmar. Sue, you're on.
Hi. I have a question for you that's a trivia question.
Oh, I love
this. I'm a bartender in a local hotel, and we sell one of your flavors called Bare Naked Ale.
Okay.
And I quite often get the question from my customers about the fish on the tap handle.
Yep.
What is the story?
So our tap handles are hand painted rainbow trout,
okay,
is what they look like.
Right.
That's the same for everybody.
So it has
beer.
Nothing to yeah. do, Sue, then with a bare naked.
No, it's just our branding tap handle.
Okay.
It's a bare naked trout.
It's true.
Okay. No real connection between the fish and the bear. Okay.
Oh, no, not at all. No.
Did you have some smart aleck remarks for your customers?
Weirdly enough, if you cross a rainbow trout and a bear, you get a dancing chicken. And
well, there you go.
Okay.
Who knew?
Thank you, Sue. Right. Appreciate it.
Thank you, too. Okay.
Have a good weekend. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. Greg and Preston, this is pretty much how the show goes.
Yeah,
so
hey.
You just go with the flow, and let's do that.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, we're getting something there.
That is a flow.
Mark, on the road, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Just wanted to share with Preston my Oma Bertha Kaiser's recipe for rotten, for sal rotten.
Okay.
And it was relatively easy. She, you know, she came over from Germany just after the war, and she would take an eye on the round roast and put it in a big Dutch oven with a pint of cider vinegar and two cans of Utica Club, and it had to be Utica Club.
All right.
There you go.
She would be,
now we're
right?
cooking with beer.
Interesting.
Cooking with beer. And so that she would marinate that overnight, then pull out the take all of the marinade off and just cook it like a pot roast. Mm-hmm. And while she was doing that, she reduced that marinade down with onions, and that was the sour brown sauce.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. Why did, first of all, did you ever try it with a beer other than Utica Club? Say Ryan.
I always do it. When Utica Club came back online, that's when I started cooking sauerbrot again.
Oh, I'll be darned.
That was the way Oma did it. Yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting to try, say, with it with a different beer, you know, a local beer, and see if you can taste a difference. But hey, nothing wrong with that one. And thank you for the call. Over to Susan in Glenmont. Hello, Susan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a couple more things to add on the food part of Food Friday. Mostly that from experience, I will share with you some things not to do making potato pancakes.
Oh, good.
You must use Idaho potatoes. You cannot use boiling potatoes.
Right.
If you do, and if you put a lot of flour in it, you will come out with almost hockey puck strength pancakes.
Huh.
So what you grate the potatoes, food processors are great for that also now, mm-hmm. and then wring out all of the moisture you can in a very clean dishcloth. And then you add onions and eggs and whatever else you're going to add. That's about it. But I caution anybody who wants to embark on it. It is not difficult, but you must use really dry potatoes. I will also add to the sauerbraten comments that in our family, adding sour cream to things always made it better. And if you add a little sour cream to the gravy and some crushed ginger snaps, it is literally very snappy and awfully good. So thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. And Utica Club. Ginger snaps and Utica Club. You're good to go. Well, we are about out of time. And Greg Shanice and Preston Kirkpatrick, I want to thank you both for being here. Again, the Oktoberfest up on Canada Street in Lake George is Friday through Sunday next weekend. And what time on Friday, October 5th, does it begin?
We start around 5 o'clock on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we are there basically until midday Saturday, Sunday, straight through until about 6, 7 o'clock at night.
Does it go all night?
It doesn't go all night. We do try to, you know, keep
take,
it family
take a nap.
Friendly.
Sure.
We do like naked naps. Naps are good.
Sure.
It's good for the chickens.
Yeah.
It's just a weekend full of tons of fun because on top of that, our pub is open, so you can always pop in there.
You
and
see.
Other things downtown are open. And
there'll be German and polka music and such?
We do. We have live polka music each day.
Nice.
We've got different competitions. So like we said, on top of the Stein hoisting we talked about, keg tossing.
Sure.
So we do have two divisions, the men's and women's divisions. So
and at the very end, you have cookie tossing.
And then
presumably.
We can have cookie tossing. And
ginger snapping.
Did we get into the poor stooge who has to wear the chicken costume?
What's that?
Who's the poor stooge who has to wear the chicken costume?
That's Radio's David Gustina, actually, as a matter of fact.
That's a well-kept secret.
All right, we're out of time here. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. The Oktoberfest is on Friday the 5th through Sunday the 7th on Canada Street in Lake George. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout Western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Buttermilk Falls Inn, Milton, New York, taking reservations for lodging, dining, spa treatments, weddings, and special events on a 75-acre Hudson River estate, buttermilkfallsinn.com. And Agricultural Stewardship Association, 17th Annual Landscapes for Land's Sake, art exhibit October 6th through October 8th in Washington County to benefit local farmland conservation. Opening reception October 6th, noon to 5 p.m., agstewardship.org. Thanks again to Greg and Preston for being here. Thanks to Joe Donahue for being here. Thank you for listening and for some great calls today. Zach Malloy was our engineer. Dina Salzman took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks again for being with us. Now, remember, Monday at 2 p.m., Alan Chartok will be back in the big chair for a Medical Monday. Have a great weekend. Stand by now for news.